Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this beautiful Sabbath day. Lord, to awaken to brilliant sunshine and cooler temperatures, Lord, we are truly a blessed people to see the beginnings of a season change and trees beginning to show some color. Lord, help us to be aware of your hand that's all around us. Lord, be with those in this day that cannot be with us, those perhaps on sick beds. Be with those that have traveled away. We pray that travel mercies might be afforded them, that they might be able to return home safely. Be with those, Lord, that find themselves struggling with whatever it might be in this day. We pray that thy hand might be upon them, thy spirit might uplift them. And now, Lord, speak to us from thy word. Give us insight. Give us teachings. Give us direction. Give us admonition. Lord, whatever we need, we pray that thy spirit might work, beginning with thy servant. And we also pray, Lord, that as we leave this place, that we might be doers of thy word and not hearers only. Lord, we're also thankful to see Brother Richard in our midst again and pray that he might also be strengthened physically. So now, Lord, do far more than we can ask, and we'll thank thee and praise thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I guess we have a light that doesn't work. That's okay. Dear ones, I came to church, forgot what night it was, to see whose responsibility it was to preach. I think it might have been Thursday night, and I quickly saw that it was mine. And during the night, during last night, I would wake up and I felt that the Lord was leading me to something, but I didn't stop to write it down. So this morning when I woke up, I could not remember what the Lord was telling me last evening. So I simply prayed as I pondered on things, and the Lord has led me to 1 John chapter 5. I believe this is from the Lord. 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to read together the first 13 verses. And while you find that, I'd like to just give you a little bit of background on the Epistle of John. We know that John's writings were written toward the end of his life, and I need to do some homework. I only thought about this as I was sitting here a moment ago. I'm almost thinking that John may have written more text for the New Testament than anyone, because if we think about, we have the Gospel of John, we have his epistles, and we have the book of Revelation. That's a lot of content. And an interesting thing to realize about John's writings is the Gospel of John appears to be a way of declaring to the church who Christ was. He gets into Christ's life. In the Epistle of John, it's really living as a believer. And it's believed that John was primarily trying to refute a Cerinthian Gnosticism philosophy. There was a man whose name was Cerinthus. He was an opponent of the truth. He was a heretic. He is believed to be one that was opposing Paul and Peter and trying to get Jews stirred up. But the Gnosticism simply said this, that the supreme being that exists would never have involved itself with mankind. That the world and nature was created by some craftsman. That Jesus himself the Christ descended upon Jesus at his baptism and left him at his crucifixion. So Jesus was just a man who was the child of Mary and Joseph. So that was the 1 John 5. Thank you. So that's, if we think about those things, and if you think about the fact that the deity of Jesus was being challenged, the reality of Jesus being the Son of God, and that Jesus died on the cross to shed his blood for our sins, those are the things that were being challenged the most by these folks. And if you think about that, as we read this, this chapter will make more sense, especially the first 13 verses. So with the Lord's help, I'd like to begin with verse 1 in chapter 5 of 1 John. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him that also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of his Son, of the Son of God. Let me please read that verse again, because I misread that last statement. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The 13 verses, first 13 verses of 1 John 5. Dear ones, as I looked at my Bible this morning, I don't know when I studied this epistle. It was many, many years ago, and I have a lot of notes written in the margins, and I want to share with you some of those notes as we unpack these 13 verses. There are three key words that I believe in these 13 verses, and those verses are this: commandments, believeth, and know. So let me give you what my understanding of these words are. So commandments are ordinances, precepts, and teachings. Ordinances, precepts, and teachings. And believeth is to adhere to, rely on, and trust in. So we think, so as I go through this, I might add some of those words. And then know is to recognize, understand, and settle with absolute knowledge. Okay, so now we're going to unpack these verses one by one with that. So whosoever believeth, and if we think about this word believeth, it adheres to, relies in, and relies on, and trusts in. Anyone who adheres to what Jesus is saying, trusts in, and relies on, is born of God. We are reborn. Just by nature of the fact that we believe in his Son, in God's Son, and the power that's there. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten. So this is all, John also, we can see as we go through this whole epistle, talks about love of the brethren. You know, we can't say that we love God if we hate our brother. That's what John said. So if we love God, there will be a natural outgrowth of our love for God and the Spirit's work within us that we will love the brotherhood. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. All of his commandments, all of his commandments, all of his teachings, precepts, all of the ordinances that God has laid out, we're going to believe and we're going to obey. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. One of the ways for us to check our spiritual relationship with God is how we view the commandments, the teachings, the principles, the ordinances that God has laid out. If we find them to be grievous, there's a spiritual relationship problem with God. Something's wrong. And we need to, so whenever in any of our lives, my brother, my sister, when we have an issue with a teaching that's found in the Word, it's a sign that something's happening to us spiritually. And I want to go to Psalm 119 and read just a few verses. And these are verses that all of us know very well. Psalm 119, I'm going to start with verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97 is, "Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day." If we love God, if we are reborn, if the Spirit of God indwells us, then we will love the teachings of God. And we will find ways to meditate on it throughout the day. And then also verse, I think it's 165, Psalm 119, 165. Listen to this one. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Nothing will cause them to stumble. Nothing will be an obstacle in their path. Because we have great peace. Because the love, we love the law of the Lord. It's in our hearts. We're meditating upon it throughout the day. And recently, I was having a conversation with someone. And we talked about how do you become intentional about daily things, daily practices that you want to build into your life, daily spiritual habits, whatever you want to call them. And I think I may have even preached about it when I had the message on temptation. Utilize technology for that. Utilize it. Years ago, my grandmother had this little thing that looked like a loaf of bread, little plastic loaf of bread, and it was sat on the kitchen table, and it was my daily bread. And every day there was another scripture verse. That was a precursor to Instagram. You can, or Bible apps that will give you a verse of the Bible every morning. My Bible app on my iPad. It seems that whenever I get into my office, and I usually plug my iPad in because I use it as a calendar, and almost every morning at like 8 o'clock, it probably is 8 o'clock, a scripture verse pops up. Use that, dear ones. Make sure that we're building these spiritual habits, rituals into our daily life that will keep us focused on the Word so that we can meditate upon it. Verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Bible class lesson. "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" So how do we, I had a note here in a scripture verse that I had scribbled in. How do we do this? How do we accomplish this, or have this accomplished in our life? It's not something, dear ones, that we do. What we do is we surrender to the Spirit of God working within us that will bring this about. And I'd like to, for those that have been in Bible study, you'll recognize these verses. Romans 6, beginning with verse 11. Romans, the sixth chapter, beginning with verse 11. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." We're not doing it. Jesus is doing it. The power of Jesus, the power of the Spirit that allows Jesus to work in our life. His shed blood allows the Spirit to work in our life. Verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." I'm going to pause there for a moment. There's a yielding. There's a drawing away from sinful things. Things of this earth, things of this world, and a drawing closer to, a yielding, and allowing our bodies, our thoughts, our minds, to be under the control of the Spirit of God. When we accept Jesus Christ into our life, when we ask the Lord to apply his shed blood in our life, cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness, and to be truly born again, we are allowing the Spirit of God to indwell us, the Spirit of God to begin to work in our life, to correct the nature, to give us the victory over that sin nature, to reveal to us a new way of thinking, to give us a new mind. But what we have to do is allow that to take place. We have to invite the Lord into our life and then make sure that we are giving him access to our thoughts so that those his thoughts can control our actions throughout the day through the power of the Spirit. And then verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of disobedience or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but now ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. That's what John's writing about. That's what John is writing about in 1 John 5 when he talks about us being overcomers, being able to overcome the sin in the world and the chaos in the world and the doubts in the world and the fear in the world and the stress that's in the world. Paul said we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. But we have to yield ourselves to the Spirit's working in our life for that to take place. I saw a quote and I jotted it down so that I can do some research in it, but it said that if we would know the power of negative thoughts, we would never allow them to take place again. So I want to just trace that back to the author, but it's the power of our thought process. I know I've said this before, you know, Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to give us power over sin and over death. We have to take control of our thought life. We have to give that thought life to Christ, to the Spirit, so the Spirit can work in our life. And it's a battle, dear one. It's a battle for me. It's a battle for me on a daily basis, multiple times in a daily basis. It's a battle for me sometimes at night when I wake up and fears and worries come into my mind. We need to push them out, replace them with spiritual thoughts. You know, have you memorized some scriptures? Have you memorized some hymns? There's times at night when I'm thankful that it doesn't happen to me a lot. Typically, once I fall asleep, even if I wake up, I can go back to sleep quickly, but there's sometimes when I can't. And there's just hymns that I can think of, and I just recite those hymns, or I spend some time in prayer with the Lord. But we have to do that to push the fearful negative thoughts out of our mind. We are more than conquerors. Jesus, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, gave us the ability to be victors, not victims. Don't buy into the world's philosophy that we're all victims. We're not. We are more than conquerors. Now, picking up in 1 John 5 with verse 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. This verse specifically is going after the teachings of Cerinthus, who was the Gnostic. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three agree. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. And if we think about that verse, so the Spirit of God, the water was the baptism, and the blood was Christ shed blood on the cross for us. These were things that were being disputed at that time. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. For in verse 10, for he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Colon. And I want to stop there. What does that mean? Well, we know, dear ones, that, and especially if we would have read the first four chapters in this book, that the witness that is within the believer is the very Spirit of the living God. That portion of the Godhead that indwells the heart of every true believer. We have that witness. That witness is within us. That witness is empowering us. That witness is enabling us to have victory over sin in our life and to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Christ, as the Apostle Paul put it. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and that this life is in his Son. Wow. Think about that, dear ones. Not only are we able to have a victorious and joyful life here, but we get eternal life as well with God. That is something that we have to look forward to when finally we give up this temple of clay that's given us so many battles for so many years. And I love verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. Dear ones, if you're gonna just remember a little bit of Scripture. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son hath life. We need to have that as part of our thought process so that continually we can remind ourselves of that. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I love how John said, I've written these things unto you so that you will know that you have eternal life. Not that you might hope, not that you might wish for, but that you will know. I'm thinking of the Bible class this morning, and you know, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Brother Dave did a beautiful job of leading our thoughts through that. And I remember as a kid hearing, I don't know who it was, maybe it was my dad or somebody else saying, you know, what does that mean if we look at it in maybe it was the German, it's a not doubting. Faith is a not doubting, it's an assurance. You know, when I came up here this morning, I went to turn the light on. I didn't expect this light to not work. When I came in this morning, I turned the lights on in the sanctuary. I expect that when I flip the switch, things happen. I have faith that this is working. It's a not doubting. Now, we know that temporal things sometimes break. I don't know, maybe it's unplugged, maybe the bulbs, there's enough light, which I'm thankful for. But is our faith strong enough that it is a not doubting? That we expect that this is the case? Do we truly believe that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose? As we're going through that on Wednesday nights, that whole question about predestination is perfectly explained right there. He foreknew us. He knew the choices we would make. And everything does work for our good if we place our trust in him. We can have confidence in that. It's not a hope. It's a belief. It's much deeper than that. And then I thought, just to conclude, I'd like to just go to a couple verses in Philippians that you know are some of my favorites. Because, you know, sometimes people wonder, you know, is it works? Is it faith? Is it? Yes. That's the answer. It's yes. And people say, well, there's nothing that we do for our salvation. It's grace. It's a gift. That's true. But there are some things we need to do. It's true if we would, as soon as we accepted Jesus Christ and his shed blood applied to our life, if we would go to be home with him. Yeah, okay, sure. That's true. But I didn't go home right after I was redeemed. God's leaving me here. And I remember once trying to think, oh, the situation. So the scenario. So it was after I was announced, but before our baptism. Might have been right after our baptism. I can't remember of the exact time frame. But we went to sing for Grandpa Stinsey, who was dying of cancer. And his body was, I mean, he was not a strong big man even when he was healthy. But he was even more frail than I was used to seeing him. And I remember, I think I might have turned to Sister Debbie and I just said, he's really the most fortunate man or the richest man right now. And I really believed that. I really thought that the best thing was to be able to, now that I was in Christ, just go to be with him. That would be wonderful. But what would I have missed? I would have missed living with Christ. Now, I've never been in courts of glory, so I probably would not know that I missed anything. But think about, my brother and my sister, the blessing of living in Christ. The blessing of understanding the love of God, not as a savior, but as a keeper of my soul. The love of God that takes an interest in everything I'm doing all day long. A God that not only knows the decisions I'll make, but has planned out this beautiful path of growth for me to grow in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior. The Apostle Paul said, being made conformable, to know even his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. Paul wanted to experience Jesus in that measure. And I love these verses in Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What he means there, he's not saying to be afraid and to be fearful. He's saying work out your own salvation with this awesome wonder in what God is doing, recognizing that this is something that is precious, this is something that you can walk away from. Make the most of your relationship with Christ. Don't try to tread on the edge in the gray area where you can, well, I can get away, I can be here but still be in Christ. He's saying no, don't do that. Be holy in him. Work that out on a daily basis, recognizing the precious gift that you have and the danger that sin can play in your life, the havoc that it can wreak and bring about in your life. I don't have to be lost again to have sin's effects be painful in my life. Why would I want those effects in my life, period? But yet, there are some that say they'd like to skate as close to the edge and still be in Christ. And Paul is saying, you're missing it then. You're not embracing the fullness of Christ. You're not understanding the fullness of Christ. And then he says in verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I love that part too, because first he's telling me in verse 12 that I need to work out my own salvation. I need to live it out. And that might be fearful for me. But verse 13, he says, but remember, it's not you. It's God that's doing this work in you. And that's exactly what John was saying in 1 John 5. If we are in Christ Jesus, we need to allow the Spirit of God to work out our salvation, to give us victory so that we can continually be an overcomer. Because my brother and my sister, we are far more than conquerors through him that loved us. We don't just sneak by. We are victorious. We can wake up every morning and know that God knows my day. He's planned my day. There will be things that come. There will be things that will be painful for me. There will be things that are hurtful for me. But these are the times when Christ is loving me the most, because he is picking me up in his arms through the power of the Spirit and carrying me through the water. God never expects me to cross the River Jordan with water up to my neck. He wants me to know that when I cross the Jordan, the water stops. And if I feel like I'm drowning, it's because I've taken my eyes off the Master. If I feel like I'm barely sneaking by, it's probably because I am not looking fully at the master. Remember what happened to Peter? When Jesus said to Peter, get out of the boat, come to me. Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water until what? Until he focused on the waves and didn't focus on Christ and he began to sink. And did the Lord let him sink? Not all the way. He reached down and took his hand before he went under. Dear ones, this message is for me, not you. I got to keep looking at the master. I got to keep looking at Jesus, and I need to realize he wants to stop the water. And in those times when I haven't been walking as close to him as I should, he's picking me up, and he's saying, okay, child, I know what it's like. I've been there. Let me help you. And he picks me up, and he carries me over. For my friend outside of Christ, do you want to live an abundant life? Do you want to live a life with purpose and where you know that every day there's a reason you're here? And you know every day that when something difficult comes, that God is working with you. He's forming you. He's drawing you closer to him, because it's in those moments, dear ones, when we realize the love of God the most. It's not on top of the mountains. The mountaintop experiences are so we can see the vista. But when do we experience the love of God the most? When we're at the lowest low. And he says, give me your burden. I'll take it. And you'll still be more than a conqueror. May the Lord add his blessing to this word.